You really love testing.
Testing three times.
Test me three times, baby.
Okay.
The new
Whatever
song.
That means.
Instead of the doors, it's the windows.
The windows?
Test me three times, baby. Coming to you live from WTCN, it's the new hot hit from that awesome band, The Windows.
Test me three times, baby.
Yeah, right. Test me three times, baby.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble upon. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We do have a couple of topics prepared for you, but that doesn't prevent us from going off the trail that we have put forward.
That's right. Nothing will stop us
yes,
from derailing this podcast.
Right. We go where we want to, when we want to. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for joining us this week. We have a lot to get to. A lot of news, I feel like, this week. There's a few headlines we definitely need to hit, especially in the sports realm, which we will get to in just a bit. But before we get there, let's do a little recap as to what we've been up to since the last broadcast. How was your Memorial Day weekend, Mike? What's up?
It was good. It was good. I always like the summer holidays because I like having cookout food. I like the hot dogs, the hamburgers, the ribs. Oh, man. Ribs are amazing. Can I just say ribs are amazing?
My sister makes one of the best ribs I've ever had. It falls off the bone.
That's the best.
That's when you know you got some good ribs.
You could just eat it with a fork. You just pull it off. It just comes right off. It's so delicious.
Yeah, she's the rib master.
Nice. I think every group has to have a rib master.
Yeah.
If you don't have ribs at your cookouts, you're really missing out.
So anything else besides the food report?
Other than food, I also got a chance to watch all of Bloodline, actually.
Yeah, me too.
This past weekend. It was a shorter season this year.
It was only 10 episodes.
I was surprised. I thought it was going to keep going. I got the episode 10
and it ended. I was like,
I can't wait to find out what... Oh, it's over.
Whoops.
Did you feel the same way?
Oh, yeah. It felt like... I guess we're gonna do a review of it right now.
It
felt like they rushed it, and
it didn't
feel as good as it's definitely not as good as the first season. I'm sorry.
And we
sorry to put a downer on everyone that was hoping for a good Bloodline return.
I mean, it was still I still enjoyed it. The moment to moment was interesting. It's just the whole picture when you step back at the end feels a little incomplete.
Yeah.
In my mind. The moment to if you just focus on the small details, or rather not focus on the small details, but focus on the episode story arcs instead of the bigger, larger arc, I think you'll be okay. Because it sort of falls apart at the end. They introduce a lot of plot lines that don't resolve, that don't wrap up. Just random stuff they sort of just throw in there. You feel like there probably should have been more episodes or another season to deal with this stuff that they sort of just threw at the viewers. But overall, I enjoyed it. But I think we're both in agreement in saying that the only season you need to concern yourself with is season one.
Yeah, the first season's the best.
If you really want to watch season two and three, you can. It's, you know, extra Netflix series is never really a bad thing. But really, when you get to the end of season one, there's a good stopping point there. Even though it leaves some things hanging, I feel like it's a better ending than season two or season three.
Yeah, it makes me think that was the original plan, and they didn't really think of it being a success and having to do more seasons.
Right. But, yeah, so I watched Bloodline.
Yep, I did too. So, yeah.
It was all right. What else did I do? I think that's basically... Oh, I saw Logan. I got a lot of entertainment stuff out of the way. I watched Bloodline.
Yeah,
that's
what you do with an extra day off.
Yeah, I got to see Logan finally. I think the hype was deserved. I think the movie was very good.
It needed the R rating. We talked about that.
It did need the R rating, yes. I don't know. I just have some problems with the X-Men universe in general. Not so much Logan, but in general, the X-Men universe.
Well, yeah, where I think we all do.
How does it fit into the larger story? And they mention a lot of things where I'm like, oh, that would make an interesting movie. It's like, oh, I want to find out how we got here. And they sort of just brush them off like, oh, did Professor X kill everyone? I don't know. Oh, let's continue.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah. You know, so I think that was sort of one of my big knocks against it was that the things that it mentioned offhanded were more interesting than some of the things that they were building up to in the movie itself. But at the end, I thought it was a solid conclusion to the Wolverine story arc. They made it very difficult to milk more Wolverine movies out of this franchise.
No, yeah, I think this is done for
Hugh Jackman. It's not impossible because X-Men fans know that nothing is set in stone in the X-Men universe, apparently.
Yeah, but I don't know. I highly doubt Hugh Jackman would come back.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully they leave it as it is. But it was a good movie. It was a good movie,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. Caught up on a lot of entertainment. Did you do anything fun over your extra long?
Yeah,
an extra day.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did. I binge watched Bloodline. Had the Memorial Day picnic with the family, and that's what you do with an extra day off. You enjoy it. You
eat food and watch TV.
Right. That's it. You relax. Why not?
That's the American way, right there.
Yeah. So. That's what I did with my weekend as well. To look into the future, I want to start mentioning this because it's now only 2 weeks away, actually. The 24-hour game show marathon coming up. This is a charity event where me and fellow game show aficionados produce and play 24 game shows in 24 hours. We had Christian Carrion on the podcast recently to talk about it. Go back a couple episodes and listen to that if you want some more details on how I got started and everything. But it's definitely a fun experience. We're collecting donations already. We made it past $1,000 already, which
wow.
is a pretty good head start to,
yeah, that's awesome.
to dive into this marathon. And it all goes towards Child's Play, which is a charity that gives toys and games to kids that are in hospitals and shelters. So it's a win-win for everybody. We'll be ramping up all the promotions on that. Make sure you are like us on Facebook and you're following us on Twitter so you get all the news when it breaks. It's coming up. I didn't realize how close it was because it's June 10th.
Yeah, and now, you've always been a big member of the 24-hour game show marathon, but now you're, like, officially a member. So you're feeling the ramp up maybe a little bit more this year than previous years.
Yeah, they made me a co-host, so.
And you're like, ah, damn it.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
I know you love this event. You have such a blast doing it. And it's so much fun. I was there last year. It was a lot of fun. It's for a great cause, too. Every little bit helps. You know, $5, $10, whatever you can spare. It's going to kids. You know, how can you say no to kids?
Yeah.
Right?
And I like the fact that it's for something that perhaps you don't think of, you know, a lot of charities, you know, address like medical bills.
Right.
Or,
it's a disease or it's, you know, going overseas or whatever it is.
Right.
But this is to help kids deal with their stay in the hospital or to help them through those difficult moments.
To try and remember that they're kids.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's really special, I think.
I think it's a great charity. Yeah. So this is a win-win situation. If you can, go to gameshowmarathon.com and find out more about us and donate if you'd be so kind. We're coming up on it. It's June 10th. It's right around the corner, so I'm really looking forward to that. So, yeah, we're in the final stages of prepping, so the adrenaline's going, man.
The pressure's on.
The pressure's on. Adrenaline's going. I can't wait. It'll be June 10th, so coming up. All right. Now, with that in mind, I think it's time we go into the first segment of the show, which we've grouped a couple of big news topics in the world of sports. So we call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yeah, sports coming at you in your face. This first part of the sports sampler is where we hit a couple topics as fast as we can. And they're both football related, so it's appropriate that we call it the 2-minute drill. All right, Mike, what do you got?
First up in the 2-minute drill, as you pointed out, we have a couple of football stories. And the first bit of news is, I don't know, sort of obnoxious news for me. But former Eagles head coach Chip Kelly has officially overstayed his NFL welcome after not finding another coaching gig. The offensive genius has signed a multi-year deal with ESPN to appear as an analyst starting next season. In a statement, Kelly said, quote, over the last 30 years, I've experienced football from one perspective, as a coach. Working in television will allow me to see the game from a different angle. Simultaneously, I'll provide viewers an insight to the mindset of a coach and team while offering alternative views of various situations.
Let me guess. His first piece of advice, shotgun. Every recommendation, shotgun.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's going to get very old very fast.
Yeah.
But you know what's really old right now is this tidbit of the deal on top of the ESPN deal that he just signed. Kelly is still due $1 million from his old contract with the Eagles and $18 million from his contract with the 49ers. This man has fooled the NFL into just giving him money for doing nothing.
Yep, he pulled it off.
He
Good
did
job,
it.
49ers.
The greatest heist known to mankind. Yep. Congratulations, Chip Kelly. You're an
bastard.
Ass. After the But I'm glad to say goodbye to Chip Kelly, but this one sort of saddens me to say goodbye to such an electric player. After 13 years in the NFL, former Falcons and Eagles quarterback Michael Vick is calling it quits. Vick recently announced that he wants to sign a one-day deal with the Atlanta Falcons to finish his career where he started. His split with the Falcons was somewhat ugly, as he originally left due to criminal charges. After spending some time in jail, Vick signed with the Eagles, where he had a small resurgence. However, he has failed to earn a starting job since departing the team in 2013. It's sad to see him go. He was a great player. Best of luck to you, Mike Vick.
Yep, there you go. Vick retiring to close out the 2-minute drill.
Do you know that he spent 5 years in Philly?
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it was that long when he was
here for a good amount of time.
Yeah.
He backed up McNabb.
He did. He backed up McNabb in, I think it was McNabb's final two seasons.
Yeah.
And then Vick had, I think, three of his best seasons as a starting NFL quarterback in the league. Even though it didn't seem like it at the time, if you go back and look at the numbers, there's some of his better seasons, and really not all that bad compared to some of the quarterbacks we've had since then.
Yeah.
So, good luck to Mike Vick in his future endeavors.
Yep. So there you go. 2-minute drill there. I know Mike is going to pain you, but that's all the football news that we can get to this week.
Yep, I know. That's all right.
But there's something that we need to get to before we get to some major sports events that will be happening. We got to talk about this. I know I like to talk about golf, but this is not really the way I wanted to talk about golf. Because on Memorial Day, Tiger Woods was arrested on a DUI. And boy, man, this just seems like another...
Is this the end of the downward spiral?
It just seems like it
keeps
going.
Or is there more to spiral after this? That's the big question that lingers in my mind.
Yeah, it just keeps going and going. He was found asleep in a car. with what was described as fresh damage across the driver's side of the vehicle. His speech was slurred and he didn't know where he was. The only good thing is he was cooperative with police, and the breathalyzer did not show any alcohol. So he claims that it was, quote, an unexpected reaction to prescribed medications.
It's kind of strange.
Yeah.
This whole situation, like, I know medications can have that effect on people. And I mean, he might be telling the truth. He blew a zero, but they also took a urine sample. It might be drugs, not just prescription drugs. You know,
yeah.
Who knows? It's just a very odd situation. Asleep in a car, and they said the driver's side was torn up. The tires were flat. The turn signal was flashing. Like, I'm just reading the CNN article.
If you're Tiger Woods, and you're on some heavy medication, wouldn't you call an Uber?
Don't you have a driver?
Somebody. Don't you have a friend? Somebody.
Did you just go golfing by yourself? Don't you have a golf course, like, at your home?
Doesn't the country club have some sort of driver program that they can get you home with?
You're probably one of the top three golfers in golf history.
Yeah.
And you don't have anybody that can give you a ride, you know?
And you already...
Maybe he thought he was fine.
And you already are kind of on thin ice because of the whole sex scandal and everything.
That broke a long time ago, but he has never recovered.
Right.
That's the craziest thing. Is that I hate to say, like, oh, it was the sex scandal thing. There is a definite, like...
break.
Yeah, like BS and AS, before sex and after sex. Before the sex scandal, best golfer in the world. After sex scandal, his back is constantly injured. He's getting arrested for DUIs. He can't finish in the top 10. It's like one thing after another.
Yeah. Also, what came out in this report is he had another back surgery. So I think that further hinders his chances of ever really coming back to play for the majors in the near future. And for that matter, ever. I mean, is he really going to try and come back?
It's over.
Yeah. I mean,
can we finally put Tiger Woods to rest?
To win? Yeah.
When's the last time he's even competed?
I think he will
it's been
try
years.
To come back.
But it's been years since he's competed.
But the thing is, with golf, you can play until like you're 50. Phil Mickelson's almost 50, and he's still playing at a competitive
level. How many
level.
Back surgeries has Phil Mickelson had?
Yeah.
How many DUIs has he had? How many life-ruining scandals?
Phil Mickelson had a gambling scenario. Gambling
doesn't affect how you golf.
Gambling scandal.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
And he's still allowed to play?
Yeah.
Boy, man, you gamble in Major League Baseball and you're
right,
just ostracized
never.
For life.
Never, yeah, you won't be in the Hall of Fame, but...
Gamble in golf and they're like, oh, everybody does that.
Yeah, you know.
Smoking their cigars with their, you know...
1 month suspension, that's it, whatever.
1 month suspension, a literal slap on the wrist and then get back out there on the green.
Right, go back to making us money.
Yeah.
But yeah, this just seems like Tiger Woods keeps falling further and further from grace.
Since we've been doing this podcast, he has been... Yeah. Like, one of the worst golfers in the world.
Right.
It's pretty crazy.
I remember the very first story that we covered on the Crispy Noodle podcast was the fact he lost the sponsorship deal with EA.
Yeah, it was one of the very first ones.
Yeah, so it's just, it's just amazing to see how far he's fallen.
It's like one of those weird recurring stories that we do. It's like, where's Tiger? Spoiler alert.
He fell asleep in
the
car.
He fell asleep at the wheel, I mean, that's pretty sad, right? That he, like, went from... He was the best. Like...
He was on pace to be the greatest of all time.
Yeah. Like, think about how, like, shocking that must be to him. Like, that's probably why he's in the state he's in, because he was the best. Think about how many of people are the best at something. And now he is... where he is.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of insane to think about that fall from grace.
Yeah. I mean, he was on pace to break Jack Nicklaus's major wins record.
He's never going to beat it
now
is he? How many did he need?
I think he needed four or five
that's,
more.
No.
That's not going to happen.
Never happening.
But yet, the last time you won was 07 or 08.
Dude, that was a decade ago.
Yeah.
That was a... He's done.
Yeah.
He's done. That was a decade. I didn't realize it's been a decade.
If I remember correctly, it has been a while since his last major win.
That's really, really sad. I mean, this guy had sponsorship deals with Nike. He was on the cover of video games. Tiger Woods was synonymous with golf. Growing up, he was the only golfer I knew. Now, granted, I wasn't a golf fan, but everybody, golf fan or not, knew Tiger Woods. Now we're heading into a generation where Tiger Woods is the butt of a joke and not at the top of the list of greats. What did you find for us, Rich?
His last win was 2008, the U.S. Open. His last major win.
Jeez.
So, it's been almost 10 years, you're right.
Not only is the writing on the wall, but it's also bright red and underlined.
So it's not looking good. Not looking good for Tiger. He would need a major comeback. It would have to be one of the greatest comebacks in sports history at this rate.
Disney would make a movie of it.
Yeah.
It would be that great.
Right.
How does Disney handle a sex scandal, though? they just insinuate it off scene.
Right.
The lights turn off and they see
he
two shadows.
A lot.
He kisses a lot. Tiger Woods has been kissing.
I don't know. I don't know how Disney would handle that.
I don't know.
But, yeah, just a crazy headline that broke on Monday. It was ridiculous.
Didn't he have anywhere else to be?
Yeah.
Memorial Day weekend.
Don't you have a driver?
He's just golfing by himself. But he's golfing by himself Memorial Day weekend?
Don't you just have somebody? Call a friend. Call a...
I think there might be more to this story.
Right. That's what I'm worried about.
I think we'll probably be... We might revisit this in a few weeks, depending on what comes out.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like there's more there.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe it's all totally innocent. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out, I'm sure, later on in the golfing season. So.
Yeah.
U.S. Open coming up, so we will be talking about golf again. So don't worry, Mike. More golf news will be coming.
I can't wait.
Yes.
I am on the edge of my seat.
Excellent.
And that seat is on the edge of a cliff, and I'm going to jump.
Well, don't do it yet, because we have another sport to talk about that I know you don't like. But
gave that away?
Yeah, we gotta get to it. We gotta get to some basketball news. Yeah, how can you not get excited with this music?
I love this theme.
Why did they get rid of this music?
I don't know.
This pumps
me up. This is how much I follow basketball. I didn't know they had gotten rid of it, and you told me they're like, oh no, this is the old theme.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed to hear that.
They need to bring this back. I love this theme.
They do.
This is my 90s childhood right here. Yeah. All right, so let's get to it. It is time for the NBA Finals, and for the third consecutive year, we're going to have the same matchup, the Golden State Warriors versus the LeBron James. The Cleveland Cavaliers. Sorry.
No, you had it right the first time.
So this is the third meeting. The first time Golden State won. The second time Golden State was up in the series 3-1, and LeBron James just willed it from the beans of his basketball powers to win last year. One of the biggest comebacks in sports history. To win it last year, the first title ever for Cleveland.
He's going
to
win again.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I know so. It's LeBron James.
Well, Golden State, though, have been on fire this year. They haven't lost a single postseason game. They have swept every series that they've been
in. Didn't they do that last year?
No.
No?
No. This is a different team.
Well, the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
And I would say it goes the other way. I think LeBron James isn't going to win this one.
I don't know. Stephen Curry can't get it done. He cannot get it done in the playoffs. He's the Donovan McNabb of basketball.
No, he's not. He won.
Did he win?
Yeah. The first time they met, yeah.
It was a fluke. Who'd they play?
LeBron James.
Eh, it was a fluke. LeBron James is the best player in the NBA.
You just want to piss me off, don't you?
I do. Well, don't you find the copy that I wrote very helpful?
Yeah, I saw it. Do you want to read it? Do you want to read your own copy?
I kind of feel like a jerk now because Rich is just being a champ and soldiering on. This is what I wrote in the rundown. I wrote basketball, period. I hate it. But the old theme is awesome. Basketball equals bad. Old theme equals good. Let's just listen to the theme instead of talking about it, okay? No, fine. Be that way. But seriously, the finals are happening and LeBron James will probably win again, Rich. Just accept it and like it.
No, I won't. But I do like some of the points you did make in there. Thank you. Old theme, good. Excellent.
I wrote that stream of consciousness as you were explaining to me that the theme was the old theme and they got rid of it.
Yeah.
So.
But
anyway.
No, I think Golden State is on a roll. They haven't lost a single postseason game yet. They are tearing it up right now. They are the Lakers in 2001.
You know what other team didn't lose a playoff game? The 18-1 Patriots.
They're not the Patriots.
Why aren't they the Patriots?
Stop linking this back to football.
Everything is linked back to football.
No, it's not. Stop that. but
no, it's not. Stop that.
Yeah. you had to link it back to football. Now I lost my train of thought. But
that's what I'm good for. Sorry.
Yes. All right, well, you know what, Mike?
You were trying to make a coherent analysis of why the Golden State Warriors are going to beat LeBron James and the Cavaliers. I just don't think they can do it. I mean, the past two... This is, what, the third meeting between the teams? Or the fourth meeting?
Third. Yeah,
the third meeting?
Yep, this is the third one, yep. This one will give one team the edge, because the Warriors won the first matchup, Cleveland won last year.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't know if you were about to say anything.
No,
okay.
No, I'm just thinking, because the Golden State Warriors collapsed pretty hard last year. I don't know. I see this series going in Game 6 or Game 7. I still feel like you got to give the edge to the Cavaliers. LeBron James,
I'll tell you,
is just,
this. If
he's just on another level from every
right,
other
so,
player.
So first off, right now the Warriors are on fire right now. That's key number 1. Number 2, this year they have Kevin Durant. They didn't have Kevin Durant last year, all right?
That's a good point.
That's a big step up. This is a different team that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to be facing compared to last year.
That's a fair point.
So here's what I think. It's going to come down to how fast the Warriors can put them away. If Warriors go up 2 or 3 games right out the gate, it's over. But the longer this does go out, the more of a chance Cleveland has.
Yeah, I think you're right in that assessment. That if the Golden State Warriors can come out and put them away early, then they'll be fine. If LeBron keeps the Cavaliers in it, it's going to be very tough to win down the stretch.
Right. So we have that aspect of the NBA Finals. There's another aspect to the NBA Finals, and I hate it when this comes up, but of course we got to talk about it. LeBron James, this is his 7th straight appearance to the NBA Finals. 4 with
is
the Heat, he 3 with the Cavaliers.
Better than Jordan.
Yeah.
Seven straight. That I didn't realize that was 7 straight.
Yeah.
With 2 different teams?
Right.
Did Jordan do that?
No, not straight, but he did win 6 championships, 2 of them in 3-peats.
How many has LeBron won?
I
think it's like
he won 2 with the Heat and 1 last year. So if he wins this, this would be his 4th ring.
His 4th.
Yeah. But let's be honest. The 2 with the Heat shouldn't count.
Why not?
Because he was just joining an already stacked team.
Michael Jordan had great supporting players around him.
He had Scottie Pippen and...
what's his face? Rodman.
And Rodman.
Okay.
You're going to say the whole team was stacked? Name another Bulls player.
Well, I don't know anything about basketball, right. So already I'm at a disadvantage
no,
here.
No, the whole team wasn't outrageously stacked like the Heat were that year. They had the big 3. Oh, get out of here. No, it's not the same. But you know what? It's not fair for you, Mike.
He's just giving you a look from back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if he wants to face me, get him a mic.
Oh.
But
you're just throwing it down. Come here, JB.
Whatever.
He wants to. He really wants to. He's grinning from ear to ear.
All right.
No, he's got studying to do.
Okay. Well, here's something that will make it a fair fight.
Okay.
I have a clip here that people keep sending me, and it's from a ESPN reporter named Nick Wright, and he's apparently the biggest LeBron James fan.
Okay.
And he's actually willing to die on this hill. And okay. Here it is, 90 seconds, and he lays it out why he thinks LeBron is better than Jordan, even now. Doesn't even need this title.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Here you go.
Nick?
Mm-hmm.
What would it take for LeBron to pass Jordan as the GOAT?
All right, so if we're talking about accomplishments, he needs at least a couple more rings, probably one more MVP. But if we're talking about accomplishments, Jordan's not the GOAT. It's Kareem. And if it's not Kareem, it's probably Russell. So we're not really talking about accomplishments. We're talking about who's the best. Who's the best? One game to decide your life. Who do you want in all-time history? So for LeBron to pass Jordan, he needs a time machine to go back about 11 months when he passed him the first time. LeBron's been the best player ever since about midway point of Game 6 of last year's finals, and all he's done since then is continue that. He's on the greatest streak in postseason history since Dre called him the B word and Clay said his feelings were hurt. He's played 16 games. His team's 15-1, giving you 34-9-8 and 55% shooting. And when we're just comparing the two players, LeBron averages more rebounds, assists, blocks, steals than Jordan. Shoots a better percentage from 2. Shoots a better percentage from 3. Is the more versatile defender. Can guard all 5 positions. He can do everything Jordan could do, but better. So what does he need to do to pass Michael Jordan? He already done past Michael Jordan as far as who's the best player ever.
So there you go. Everyone wants me to respond to this.
There you go. I mean, that kind of settles it, Rich.
No, it doesn't. It absolutely does not.
Okay.
Because first off, what are
your metrics?
No. Let's step back. All right, we're going to break this down. All right, this guy wants to throw out all the stats, the points per game, the rebounds per game. All right, have you guys heard of a thing called defense? It doesn't exist in today's NBA, all right? Have you seen any of the scores recently? Just any score recently, just when you're Googling your phone.
They're very high.
They're extremely high. There's one game, one playoff game that I saw a week ago. The final score was 129 to 110.
Okay.
Where's the defense in this? All right. So those stats are inflated. There's no way those stats are complete BS. I was about to curse.
Oh man, this is outburst.
All right. So first off, I'm getting out of control. I got to take a deep breath here.
Just remember that LeBron is better.
No, he's not.
LeBron is better.
The numbers.
I'm going to get you to drop an F-bomb.
No. The numbers are inflated. Absolutely wrong. So that part of his argument is completely off. If he wants
How are the numbers inflated, though?
Because there's no defense. Jordan had to deal with people who actually would be in his face when he would try and shoot a J or go for the layup. Or slam dunk. It was a completely different era. There's none of this BS that prevents
Have defenses gotten worse or are offensive just that much better?
It's a combination of they don't play defense anymore and the rules are slightly favored to allow more scoring. There's more fouls on defense. I think defense. There's also the whole the defense can't stay in a certain. They can't stay in a certain position. For longer than 3 seconds, if they switch from zone to man to man.
Okay, so shouldn't that make the fact that LeBron can play really good defense even more of a plus for him?
No. Nick Wright is listing all these offensive stats: points per game, rebounds, stuff like this.
Okay,
yeah. So that part of his argument,
LeBron
is completely.
He also mentioned that LeBron can cover any position
that,
and play with anybody.
All right, so the whole he can play any position is that holds some water, but he wouldn't be as effective without a big man in the center. He cannot. LeBron could play center if he absolutely had to, but he wouldn't be good at it. He wouldn't be the superstar. You would not expect the same numbers if he played center.
I'm not saying he should play center. I'm saying
right.
He can guard any position.
Yeah, he can do the guards, the forwards, but he can't do a center. No,
he can guard against any position defensively.
Okay, yeah, sure.
He's
Jordan
the most.
Can do that
he's
too.
The most well-rounded.
Jordan can do that
player.
Too. That's not a problem. No. Let me break this down. All
okay.
right.
Okay.
All right. I had this in my head. You're throwing me off.
That's my goal.
You bastard. If he wants to award the greatest of all time to a different player, then at that point, we'd have to go over different accomplishments. But for the purposes of this argument, LeBron has always stated he wanted to be better than Michael Jordan. He's the one that put the caliber caliber on himself.
Okay.
Him being King James. When did Michael Jordan ever walk around and proclaim that he was King Michael or whatever? He never did that. See, this is another thing that I don't like about it. There's a certain intangible quality with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was respected. He was loved. Even people that weren't fans of the Bulls, we loved to see him play. He had he had a great aura around him when he played the game with his fans. He was just better in that aspect. LeBron James is full of himself. All right, he had to leave to go to Miami just so he could win his first one. I can't believe people forget that. And
but he still won.
Oh, yeah.
What does it matter?
No, actually, you know what? No, the first finals he lost. Remember?
Okay,
the very first one they lost.
So he's faced more adversity than Michael Jordan. That should be a plus. People hate him, and he does it anyway. He's done it with all the critics.
To me, that
on
makes
his...
him a jerk.
What?
That makes him
that
a jerk.
That doesn't even make sense. He's done it with all the critics on his back, all the weight on his shoulders, and he still gets it done. Michael Jordan was skating by with the love and admiration of the entire league. LeBron has proven everybody wrong time and time again.
How has he proved everybody wrong?
He just went to 7 straight finals.
The only thing he did, the only thing that he proved everybody wrong on was last year. He did do that. He did overcome adversity on last year's one.
He takes games on his shoulders all by himself and wins by himself, basically.
What, he put the team on his back? Is that what you're going to use?
Yeah.
He put the team on his back.
He did.
He can do that, and that's what elevates him to superstar status. But if you're going to go toe to toe with Michael Jordan, I think he needs more rings. All right. He's still not close to six rings. Don't bring that up.
Okay.
I
think you forget for the longest time, LeBron was the only player in Cleveland.
Yeah, LeBron's the only player in the NBA right now, the way this stands.
No, he was...
There's really nobody else to go toe-to-toe against
Michael
him.
Michael Jordan had a team around him. LeBron had nobody around him. He had nobody.
LeBron had the big three in
that's
Miami
the,
Heat.
That's the first time he had even reasonably talented players around him. When he was in Cleveland...
Because he had to leave Cleveland.
Well, why shouldn't he leave if the team isn't going to do anything for him? He was single-handedly dragging that team to the playoffs by himself. It was him versus a five-person team. So why shouldn't he leave to play with players that would give him a chance? Michael Jordan got given players to give him a chance. LeBron had to go find the players to give him a chance. They both had supporting casts. I don't see the problem.
How about
here.
The whole decision? Can you really stand by somebody who made a big spectacle of leaving teams? Oh, I'm going to make an hour-long broadcast on ESPN about where I'm going to go because I'm King James and I deserve all this attention.
Was that misguided?
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
Of course that was misguided. That doesn't take away from the play on the court.
It takes away from the fact that he wants to be seen as this generation's Michael Jordan.
And isn't he?
No.
Who's this generation's Michael
Jordan? None, because there's only Michael Jordan.
So here, I think you are coming at this from a completely biased perspective. I have no skin in the game. I don't care. I hate basketball.
Yes.
I hate basketball. Okay? And what I can say is that whenever I have watched LeBron James play, he just outright dominates. And I watched Kobe beat the Sixers. LeBron is better than Kobe was when Kobe was with the Lakers. LeBron is one of the best basketball players of all time. And he's eventually going to get those six rings. And I think that he is better in all the measurables. You have to remember that players are bigger, faster, stronger nowadays. I think Michael Jordan probably, you know, was a freak of nature in his time. LeBron James is going up against guys that are just as big and fast as strong, bigger and faster and stronger than players back when Michael Jordan was in the league.
But do you think that...
I think the level of competition has probably increased.
You think it's increased, really?
Probably.
No, all those...
Look at the scoring.
Right. To me, that screams like there's no defense anymore. They just let people
Doesn't it cut both ways?
What do you mean?
Well, if they're scoring that many more points a game, doesn't it mean that offenses are that much more electric, that much more high octane, that much more offensively proficient? Doesn't that make it more
difficult?
Like
a Golden State Warriors where they're sinking threes at will? Maybe, but
did Michael Jordan have to contend with that? I don't know. It was a slower paced. It was a more inside the paint type game. Now it's much more fast paced. It's much more electric. LeBron has a lot more to deal with, and he can do it all across the court from any position against any position. I think LeBron will probably end up being better than Michael Jordan, but just on sheer measurables.
All right. How about
I don't even know anything about basketball. I'm convincing myself, Rich.
How about to Nick Wright's point that he's better right now?
Better right now? I think if you put the two against each other in their prime, I think LeBron would more than hold his own. Mm. Are you telling me you really don't think that he would hold his own against Michael Jordan?
I think he would hold his own, but I would rather go with Michael Jordan.
1v1.
1v1. I'd go with MJ.
You go with MJ?
Yep. I never saw anybody like MJ.
I don't know, man.
Yep.
I don't know.
But to go back to the scenario Nick Wright points out, one game, aliens come down to Earth or something, and we have one game on the line. For your life, yeah. I go Michael Jordan.
I go LeBron.
All right. Well, somebody's going to lose.
It's going to be Jordan.
No, it's not.
Look, Rich, we're never going to find out.
That's the worst part.
Times are changing. No, in about 4 or 5 years when LeBron wins another three, we'll find out.
Yeah, okay. Let's see it happen. Oh, yeah. By the way.
Did Jordan ever go to seven straight?
By the way, make sure. He went to six out of seven and won six.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So let me know when LeBron does that, all right? But
again, better supporting players around him.
No. That argument
what do
is
you mean
so. No. Because he left to Miami so he could be with the big three with Dwayne Wade. And,
who was on the Cavaliers last year when he won?
Kevin Love. He was stellar last year.
Just because he was stellar last year doesn't make him a good player.
No, but it helps to put the pressure off of him.
Okay.
Ugh.
LeBron won those last few games. Remember, LeBron single-handedly brought that team back.
Yes, he did. And that
did
was...
Michael Jordan ever have to do that, or did he just blow teams out
Michael
of the water?
Michael Jordan had to take several game-winning shots so that his team would win. Yes. The answer is yes.
All right.
So, I didn't realize we went way over. This is what happens.
I want to know how many series. I want to know how many series Michael Jordan had to come from behind on, and win, right. Or was he just constantly leading? That I think is a big differentiator. LeBron James has the comeback ability. I don't know if Michael Jordan ever had.
Don't you remember the shot?
No, I don't remember the shot. I never watched basketball, Rich.
Well, then why are you arguing with me so much on this?
Because I like to see you get angry.
God damn it!
I'm still trying to get you to drop the F-bomb.
No, I can't do that. But.
You've shown great restraint, Rich.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, man.
I don't know if your heart, I don't know if your blood pressure has shown restraint, though.
I don't know. Yeah. You know what? I think, we're going to have to check with the doctors on the sidelines here because, I'm feeling it. But I think that's an appropriate way to end the sports sampler. Full of rage. I got to go check out the doctor, get my blood pressure measured here.
Jamie's got a blood pressure thing back
there.
Oh,
good. Yeah, Bruno, take my blood pressure. All right. But in the meantime, we'll take a break. But don't go anywhere. We have the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We'll be back. I swear to God. All right. Stop laughing at me.
Why you said it like that?
We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunching.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
EA Sports has cut ties with the famed golfer for their upcoming golf video game, Tiger Woods PGA Tour. He is in the danger zone. Do you just want to leave it on, Rich?
Maybe. But yeah, you're right. Tiger Woods, unfortunately... he finds himself in the zone of danger.
The zone of danger. You're just having far too much fun.
Do you want me to go back into the danger zone?
No, 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 no.
All right.
Let's stay out of the danger zone. I want to be in the safe zone. No?
No.
Doesn't have the same ring?
No, that has no ring.
No, no ring?
That has no ring. Danger zone or nothing at all. How dare you, Mike? Yeah!
What about, like, the in-between, like, the precarious zone? What about the slightly cautious zone?
No!
It's just the danger zone?
That's it!
Okay. Well, you know...
I'm sorry, I love Top Gun.
No, really? I couldn't tell. Just played Danger Zone 7 times.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We had a very heated discussion over LeBron James and this year's NBA Finals. And for the first time ever here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, Mike, you made me so angry. We jumped right into the break. I totally forgot that there was something that I absolutely wanted to mention regarding the NBA Finals. So I think this is the first time ever. Can I throw you a side dish that we hadn't that I didn't really put in the rundown here?
Sure, but can I just say that this is probably the most accomplished I've ever felt on this podcast, that I made Rich so angry he forgot an entire segment of the show. He's like, I'm pissed off. Let's go straight to odd news.
Yeah, that's the only thing that'll make me feel better, all right?
But yes, I think it's appropriate that we dive into a side dish. This is what the side dish was created for.
Yeah.
The random tangents we come up with.
Right. This is what it was for. So, all right, let's do the side dish. Woo! Yeah, side dish. It's been a while since we've done a side dish that, you know, wasn't an interview or something like that. So,
right. This will be good.
Yeah. So to go back to the NBA Finals, not that argument.
Are you sure you want to go back to
that? No, we're not talking about that. there's an interesting story that broke on Reddit.
Okay.
So you already know this is good. Reddit is behind this. According to RNBA, which is one of the subreddits that follows basketball intently,
right.
They have discovered a list of curses that may affect this year's NBA Finals.
Okay.
For example,
multiple curses
that could affect it. Yes.
Okay.
So, for example, apparently, local news sports news writer Stephen A. Smith.
Right.
Apparently, he's horrible at predicting the NBA Finals because he has missed the last six NBA Finals winners.
Okay. Wow. I mean, you got a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, and he's guessed wrong six times in a row.
Wow. That's really unlucky.
Which would be bad news for me because he predicted the Warriors to win this year. So, uh-oh. So there's one there. Another one against Golden State is that any time that San Antonio Spurs have been eliminated in the playoffs since 2008, the next series that team lost, Golden State beat San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals to get to the finals this year. So,
wow.
If they lose, that curse continues.
But I mean,
as well.
How many times does that happen, though? Has that happened a lot, or has it happened like twice?
No, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7.
Oh.
7 times in a row.
So 7 times the team that beat the Spurs has gone on to lose the next round.
The next immediate round, yep.
Wow, 7 times since 2008?
Yeah. Oh
my God, that's almost like every year.
Yeah. So, uh-oh.
Eerie stuff happening in the NBA.
Right, I guess there is, I'm starting to worry. Let's go the other way. Make me feel better.
What's on the other side?
Let's go the other way. Anytime LeBron James wins the NBA championship, he has to have led the league in 2-point field goal percentage at some point during the regular season.
That is such an awkwardly specific stat.
And this year, he has not led this year.
Okay.
So that was
such
break.
A strangely specific stat.
Yeah. Another weird one, LeBron James has never won an NBA title when the Washington Wizards make the playoffs.
Okay. Again, how many times has that happened, though?
Right, yeah. I don't remember the Wizards being in the playoffs that much. The Shaq curse. Every NBA champion since 1984 has had a player who was a teammate with Shaq at some point in his career. This year, it would be LeBron, because, Shaq was with the Cavaliers towards the end of his career.
Okay. And what does that team end up doing?
They win.
Oh, they win.
Yeah. So, if you believe in curses, it looks like the Cavaliers are going
to
win.
The Cavaliers have three. How do we rank this? 3 curses to 2 in favor of them?
All right. But here is the most ridiculous one that I've found. And this is the one that this is the reason why I told you we had to make this something.
They're all pretty ridiculous so far.
No,
so.
we're going to get even crazier. Everyone buckle in here. Because a user named R Dollas, this guy's a rapper. R Dollas, he's a user here on Reddit. He got exclusive access to one of the Golden State Warriors games recently during the season. Pretty nice package. You get to see the team shoot around. Maybe you get one of them to sign something you'd like.
It's a pretty good deal.
Out of all the things to ask a Golden State Warrior to sign, you know, because you're willing to sign anything.
Right.
This user, R. Dollars, brought a toaster. A toaster to sign.
Okay. What? How do you even get a toaster into a, into a sporting event?
Oh, excuse me, officer. Here's my toaster. I can't wait to...
When they ask you to empty out metal objects, do you just put your toaster in the...
Yep, here you go.
And they're just like, man, I'm going to be working for the next 6 hours. I don't got time for this.
I can't wait to toast my hot dog.
You can't even... Well, maybe if it's a toaster oven. Is this like a pop-up toaster?
No, this is a pop-up toaster.
You can't put a hot dog in
there. I guess
that's
going to have to be a hamburger then. Something where you can
put it in,
fit both sides. But ever since R. Dollas got his toaster signed by Warriors forward Klay Thompson, and he has pictures to prove it. Klay Thompson actually signed it. Ever since then, the Warriors have gone 27 wins, one loss. And the one loss was a meaningless game to close out the season.
Okay. So this is like the magic of the toaster then.
Yes.
Okay.
This has gone on for so long, and I'm going to follow up on the story here. This has gone on for so long that there is an actual petition on the Warriors subreddit.
Okay.
That if the Warriors sweep the Cleveland Cavaliers, they want our dollars and the toaster to be part of the parade. It is an actual, like,
that's awesome
petition.
Just up front, in front of everybody, it's just this one guy holding a toaster.
Ah, he did it! The toaster did it!
And the fans are going wild. It's the toaster! It's the toaster of fortune! It's like some type of idol that they worship.
There is also a secondary petition that says that whoever wins the finals MVP should give it to the toaster.
Oh, that would be amazing.
So,
okay, you know what, Rich? Here, I now want the Golden State Warriors to win just so I can see a man with a toaster lead an entire championship parade. He's just marching out front with his toaster.
Hey, look, I did it!
Toaster! 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 Toaster!
Yeah! Man, if that brought Philadelphia championship, I would kiss the damn toaster.
I think everybody would kiss the damn toaster.
Yeah. So yeah, this is a incredible story here.
That's amazing.
And yeah, it's the Warriors have not lost a single postseason game so far. They've swept every series. So
it's the magic of the toaster.
This might be a story.
See, Stephen Curry isn't good. It's just the power of the toaster.
Yeah. There you go. If only LeBron had the toaster.
If only LeBron had the toaster,
then maybe he's as good as Michael Jordan.
One toaster to rule them all.
That's the problem. LeBron James doesn't have a toaster.
We figured it out.
So there's a lot of conflicting curses going into this finals that starts Thursday night.
Some of those curses are dumb, though. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know who takes the time to figure this stuff out.
Like, the two that are dumb to me are like the two point one and the Washington Wizards one. Like, I don't know. They're like too specific. Like, you could be like, oh, well, if there's no full moon during this, then, you know, this team wins all the time. You know, you could make a curse out of anything, really, if you want to get specific enough.
Yeah. There's another one for LeBron James has never won a championship if Alabama hasn't won the national championship that same year. So, yeah, this is ridiculous.
It's just weird.
It's a full list. But
watch them all. So, wait, if they all come true. No,
they all can't come true.
Okay.
Some of them are going to be broken.
Right.
But the toaster thing is amazing.
That's the best one.
I hope that happens. That would be the best scenario. I want to see...
It's the power of the toaster.
I want to see our Dallas with his famous toaster in
his
the parade.
Famous toaster.
That would have to go in like...
Then he could sell it on eBay for like a couple hundred dollars.
That has to go in like a Hall of Fame.
He gets inducted into the NBA Hall
yes,
of Fame.
This toaster led the Warriors to a magnificent and remarkable playoff run.
They retire the toaster's number.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do that in basketball.
Look underneath the toaster. It says $3.99. All right, retire $3.99.
Coach, there is no $3.99. I said retire it.
Retire $3.99.
There you go. That works.
That's it. But there you go. This was something I wanted to point out. Originally in the sports sampler, but got a little distracted with our discussion. But there you go.
I think it worked as a side dish, though.
A list of strange curses that could affect the NBA Finals this year, starting Thursday night. So it should be an interesting Finals series. Come on, toaster!
Come on, toaster!
Come on, toaster!
It's the brave little toaster.
Yes.
Haven't you ever seen that movie?
Right. This could be
the little toaster goes all over the place to find his person.
This is the Brave Little Toaster Part 2.
Oh, no. Another sequel.
Yeah, oh, damn it. Why does this keep happening to us?
I think this is one sequel that we do need, though.
Yeah, I would agree. So there you go. Quick side dish for you because, yeah, Mike threw me off my game. You did it, Mike. Congratulations.
My proudest moment.
Good job. All right, now with the side dish over, let's go into a regular segment of the show. Let's go over news in movies, music, TV, video games, stuff like that. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Darryl.
We're filming.
Clarence Darrow, who's one of the great lawyers of all time. You probably know who he is because you've seen the movie Inherit the Wind.
Yeah.
And a movie called Compulsion.
Orson Welles plays Clarence Darrow.
And the show that I'm doing in 1974 by Henry Fonda.
Wow.
Playing Clarence Darrow.
It's good.
Of course it's going to be good.
All right, I'm just saying it's
good.
I cooked it.
off.
You actually say it with such charm. I think my f-offs are better.
Oh, do you?
I get to the C and the K quickly. One final question.
Oh, f***.
Bill Clinton, how did you master such a difficult f***ing accent?
It's not that hard. I love you, fish. I'll never say f*** off to you.
F*** me.
Damn, I've been out f***ed.
And what was that?
Apparently...
One of those people was, I think, Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey and Gordon Ramsay, they got big projects coming up. Kevin Spacey has a certain TV show coming out, which I'll let you talk about later. And Gordon Ramsay also has a new show premiering on Fox called The F Word.
Okay.
They both were shooting kind of like a cooking video, to promote both things.
Right.
And that was an outtake reel of all the times the two cursed at each other.
That's awesome.
And, yeah.
It was just all bleeps.
Right, it was all bleeps. And I just love the fact that Gordon Ramsay has to admit at the end.
Yeah, you out bleeped me.
The king is Kevin Spacey.
There you go.
You know, he's the king, the president.
He's everything.
He's the ultimate leader. Good job, Kevin Spacey. I thought you would like that.
That was great. I didn't recognize Kevin Spacey because the only voice I know is his southern... Frank Underwood voice.
Well, I'm sure
I recognize Ramsey, but not Kevin Spacey.
Well, I'm sure that's something you're going to want to talk about in our next segment here, because we have this segment where Mike lets you know what's going on new in movies, TV, and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Now you fucked up! You have fucked up now!
All right. What do you have for us, Mike, in This Week in Entertainment?
All right. Well, first up, This Week in Entertainment, DC's final blockbuster in their lead-up to the Justice League movie is Wonder Woman, coming out this week. Gal Gadot stars alongside Chris Pine and Robin Wright in the origin story of the Amazon warrior princess turned superhero. With a 97% and a 7.7 out of 10 overall rating on Rotten Tomatoes, this might be DC's best movie since the Nolan Batman trilogy, which unfortunately is not part of the current cinematic universe. What do you think about this movie? You thinking about going to check this one out? I didn't expect it to do this well, but seems like it's getting better reviews than anticipated.
Yeah, I don't know. I might check it out. I don't know. I don't think it's one of the I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't really know Wonder Woman that well.
I don't know Wonder Woman either.
But maybe it is a good movie. But
yeah.
I think though, if you don't see it, it's not that big of a.
I mean, it's a DC movie.
I would rather just. Thanks. All right.
This is the episode of getting you mad.
You are just trying to piss me off today. I would say this is probably one that you could wait till it comes out on Netflix or something like that. But I don't know. The critics keep piling in good reviews on it, so
yeah.
This is one that actually go to the theater on.
Keep your eyes on the reviews because as they
stop
come in,
stop pissing me off.
I know.
You bastard.
Next up in TV, the big news in TV,
oh,
of course.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah.
That's the short version
that's
of the
short one. Yeah. I don't want to ruin you too much.
All right. Well, that's good because this next topic is the one that I've been looking forward to talking about. The big news in TV, of course, is one of the most talked about shows, a drama of corrupt politics, diplomatic controversies, and one man trying to hold it all together as he balances an ever-growing collection of secrets. And House of Cards also is returning to Netflix this week for its fifth season.
Oh, now you fucked up! You have fucked up now!
Oh, yeah, Trump's not going to like that.
Yeah.
Good job, Mike.
Yay. But yes, House of Cards is returning for its fifth season.
Yes.
This is the show that really made Netflix a thing.
Yes.
Right? I mean, Netflix was a thing, but House of Cards brought it in to the limelight full force.
Yeah, this was really the first show that really popularized the whole binge watching.
Because
the whole season came out all at once.
Right.
And you had to, you know, be prepared. You had to be prepared to watch 13 hours straight.
Yeah, and I think this is the one that made Netflix a household name and House of Cards a household name. And I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but boy, season 4 left off in the middle of a high-stakes scenario, and I can't wait to find out the conclusion and see where these characters go from here. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Every season has always upped the ante and always shocked and surprised viewers, so I expect the same from season 5.
There was a phrase that one of the reviewers called Frank Underwood, and I think it appropriately describes the series. He's deliciously evil.
Yes.
Like, you know what he's doing is wrong and just absolutely just evil, but you can't help but want more of the evil pie.
Yeah. It's like not being able to turn away from something that's, like, terrifying or like, not. I don't want to say gross because it's not gross, but it's, like, one of those things that holds your attention, even though you're like, oh, this is terrible, but you can't stop watching.
Right.
In a good way.
Yes.
In a good way.
In a great way.
In a great way, yeah.
Yeah.
You latch on every word. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
looking forward to this release.
Yep. I guess we both know what we'll be doing this week.
Yeah.
And that comes out this week. In the world of video games, though, to wrap up this week in entertainment, one small release, Telltale's The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, concludes with the release of the fifth and final episode, titled From the Gallows. It comes out on all platforms this week. We don't know if this will be the last we see of Telltale's Walking Dead series. It might come back again. It might not. But knowing Telltale's former work, you can expect this final episode to be a dramatic, spectacular conclusion filled with difficult and heartbreaking choices, tense face-offs, and great story moments. This is what Telltale does best. Character-driven, story-driven, player choice-driven gameplay. So I'm really looking forward to finishing up the season. And for everybody that hasn't jumped into the season, now's a great time that all the episodes are available. That's Telltale's The Walking Dead, A New Frontier, the fifth episode launching this week. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for your segment this week in entertainment.
Also, can I just point out, I mentioned The Brave Little Toaster and sequels. I decided to do some research. Do you know that they made 2 sequels to that movie?
Really?
Yes.
Wow,
I did
not know that.
I had no idea. It's The Brave Little Toaster to the Rescue and The Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars.
What?
Yeah.
Why is it going to Mars?
I don't know.
This does not make any sense.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah.
I would tell you the plot, but the Wikipedia article is like 9 paragraphs long. This is insane. There's a character named Ratso. They go to Mars. Something about a supreme commander. It's bonkers.
Meatloaf excelled to the level of dancing on a rainbow with no fear and no doubt.
I think Gary Busey wrote the sequel to that.
Probably. I just had to point that out because I was like, you know, I feel like there's a sequel. And I looked it up, and sure enough, there you go.
The toaster is in Mars. Great.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Toasters are doing everything nowadays. Apparently. They're winning championships. They're going to Mars.
Wow, yeah.
Everybody take a moment to appreciate your toaster and say thank you for all the amazing adventures.
Yeah, toaster revolution, apparently. Yeah. Go figure.
Anyway.
But let's get to the main topic that we want to talk about in the entertainment entree. This is something that is interesting because I'm getting kind of the full brunt of this because on the side I work at a rock radio station. So this is kind of in the forefront for where I work.
Okay.
It might not be for you or for you, Mike, or other other places, maybe if you don't like rock or you don't like this particular band. But I think it's interesting nevertheless. And that is the band Linkin Park.
Okay. Heard of them before.
Yes.
Pretty big.
Linkin Park, let's start at the beginning. They had two really big albums, Hybrid Theory and Meteora, that really launched them out onto the rock and metal scene. It kind of came at a time when Limp Bizkit was kind of, they were fading a little bit, but they were still popular. And you had this like weird mixture of rock, metal, and rap.
Okay.
And they were calling it like new, they were, at the time they called it new metal. And that's where Linkin Park really became a household name. MMR, the station I work for, they were playing them. And yeah, it's kind of how they got the ball rolling on their career. Then they had a couple of things where they teamed up with like Jay-Z on a remix album and stuff like, and they had a couple of, projects like that, but they still stayed in the rock realm.
Okay.
Then they did a soundtrack for a Transformers movie, which, you know, that's Transformers, whatever. And then they kind of started going more kind of techno-y.
Okay.
They had a song that came out for, I think it was a Call of Duty game. It was a big, massive, shooting video game.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, and
I think I'm trying to figure out the ones that I know. I don't know many of their songs.
So the point is, they've always kind of been experimental. They're not afraid to pull in different things, whether it's a rap artist or a techno beat or industrial music. They're not afraid to experiment.
Okay.
A week or two ago, Linkin Park released a brand new album, and it pretty much has confirmed some fears, and that is Linkin Park may be the next casualty in the rock world, because when this album came out, a lot of people criticized that Linkin Park went pop.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know, because I've never been a big Linkin Park fan. Is that big of a criticism for Linkin Park?
It is in a way, because Linkin Park started out as always being a rock band. Matter of fact, if you Google Linkin Park, Wikipedia says they are a rock band.
Okay,
which I think is a little overgeneralizing, you know, because they don't do rock. They're not a Rolling Stones. They're not a let me think of one right now. They're not a Kings of Leon kind of band, you know.
Right.
Rock. No.
Yeah.
You know. But so anyway, this album that came out got a lot of criticism. It's called One More Light. If you want to take a full listen of the complete album, it's all on Spotify right now if you want to listen to the entire album. I've pulled up the lead single that Linkin Park chose called Heavy.
Okay.
And I want...
This is going to be like ironic, but not the funny kind, where it's like heavy, but it's like... Do-do-do-do-do-do.
No, but okay. I want you to give me your first reactions
on
this, and... I think we'll springboard off of this, all right? So, are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this is Linkin Park's Heavy.
I don't like my mind right now. Stacking up problems that are so unnecessary. Wish that I could slow things down. I wanna let go, but discomfort in the panic. And I drive myself crazy, thinking everything's about me. Yeah, I drive myself crazy, cause I can't escape the gravity. I'm holding on. Why is everything so heavy? Holding on to so much more than I can carry. I keep dragging around what's bringing me down. If I just let go, I'd be set free. Holding on. Everything so heavy.
So there you go. That's part of the lead single coming off of this album called Heavy.
I
think you can see the problems that are coming from this.
So so the experience that I have with Linkin Park is sort of them being like, everybody refers to them sort of tongue in cheek, like they're like, oh, one of those like awkward emo bands. At least that's the perception that I had of them. And then I hear that and I'm like, if I didn't know better, I'd think that it was like one of those whiny little Justin Bieber, like, no, honestly, it sounds like this is going to probably come off really offensive to some people, but it sounds like a song that a lot of preteens would shriek over.
Yeah.
That's my hot take on it. You know, that's my knee jerk reaction. It falls very much in line with what current music is trending towards nowadays.
Right.
Which I think is probably the intention.
I'm gonna go with this sentence that I think sums up my feelings on this whole situation. The album One More Light is actually a great pop album.
Okay.
I actually like some of the songs on it.
Okay.
And I might play another one if we have some more time.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I think there's some good songs on it. As a Linkin Park album, it's atrocious.
It doesn't sound anything
like that. This is not
like that
at all rock or metal. Or I mean, this isn't even in the ballpark. This is Linkin Park has left the stadium and joined another league.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the hell this is from Linkin Park.
Well, this is a complete genre swap.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. This is like going from like jazz to rap. You know? Or I don't even know. Like classical music to heavy metal. Actually, that would probably be a cool combination. But yeah, I get what you're saying. This is not Linkin Park. So this is sort of the dilemma that every single musical act faces, though, because you have groups like this that catch flack for trying to change things up, and they're catching a lot of flack. I'm looking at the critical reception section of Wikipedia, and the reviews are not favorable at all. I mean, I'm talking like a 4 out of 10 on Metacritic, or 46 out of 100, rather. But then you have bands that are stuck in the past. And, like, don't change at all. What comes to mind is, like, Metallica. You know, like, it's just, like, the same stuff that they were putting out in the 80s. And it's like, okay, it's been, like, 35 years. How have you evolved as a band? So it's, like, always this awkward thing that musical acts try to deal with trying to evolve and stay relevant and push themselves musically and then keep people, older fans, happy. So
yeah, I mean, here's something that I don't want people to
this doesn't bother me one way or the other, because I was never a big Linkin Park fan, but I totally get what you're saying, that it's not at all like their old material.
Right, and here's something I don't want people to think about me, is I'm not against, you know, experimenting.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I actually love it when a band or a musician goes out on a limb and tries something different.
Like, look at the thing that popped in my mind was Black Keys Turn Blue.
Yeah.
Right? That was, really, you look at El Camino, then Turn Blue, and I don't know why that popped into mind. It was
a good example. Turn Blue is a really psychedelic
different
change. It's a callback to psychedelic rock. And
didn't Foo Fighters put out, like, a totally, like, acoustic album once?
Yeah.
And so it's like
it was an EP.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't a full album, but I don't mind you taking the risk.
Right.
But it's got to be a calculated risk, at least.
Yeah.
This is just...
You got to stay in the ballpark.
Yeah. Or,
no, you can go out of the ballpark, but you have to play the same sport in a different venue.
Right.
You know?
It's like
they left the ballpark and they decided that instead of playing baseball, they're going to play, I don't know, curling.
Yeah, they changed sports on us.
Yeah.
And
I think that's your problem is the labeling of it as... "Quote unquote rock."
Yes,
so I know you're coming from the perspective of like, you know, you work in the radio portion of the music industry. So like, how is that being handled by? Or maybe you're not allowed to talk about that.
No. It's interesting because there's kind of a dilemma where we're not going to play this because this isn't rock.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like rock at all. It sounds like Justin Bieber, and
it sounds pop.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's my biggest fear is that. This is going to get picked up by like Radio 104.5 or like one of those like weird alternative stations that will classify this as rock. You know, they will use the bare minimum of it.
Does it have instruments? It's rock.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I
like 104.5, but
they will classify it as rock and it's not. And slowly. Oh, here's another thing, too.
To be fair, 104.5 is always. They always say they're alternative. So
they say,
but I wouldn't classify
they're alternative rock.
I wouldn't classify this as alternative either, though. So that
yes. But here's something else that's a dilemma too. What about the Grammys when they do their nominations? Are they going to nominate this as a best rock song?
Oh yeah,
just because Linkin Park was a rock band.
Well, it depends what it's released as, and I think I think that it's a genre that is very thin in the modern era. So, yeah, it will be classified as rock, and yeah, it will probably win because I think it released it like number one or something, right? This album. So,
well, yeah, because it fits neatly into like, you know, right. top 40 Billboard.
Right. So it'll be classified as rock. It'll probably win because it's being played everywhere. And that's not because it's better than everything else. Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad one way or the other. I don't care. But it'll probably win because it's just a very thin genre right now, rock and roll. And I think we talked about this very briefly last week. Rock and roll has become so diversified. There's no like traditional rock and roll anymore. There's many different subgenres. There's alternative rock. There's there's punk rock. There's pop rock. There's metal. There's, you know, To Infinity and Beyond. This is just another weird subgenre.
I kind of feel that it's kind of at a really bad time for rock too. There's really, like you said, there's no really new. I mean, there are some new rock bands. Don't get me wrong. There's still some up and comers. But it is slowing
alternative.
Down. It's slowing down. True
right.
rock is on the ropes right now.
Yeah,
and this is a big hit that Linkin Park is just pivoting and just going straight to pop. I don't want to say it, but it kind of is true. It kind of seems like they sold out a little bit.
Going with that classic argument,
right?
Right.
Like,
it's such
know.
A cliche
it
argument,
like a cliche, but it is kind of true.
But when you play a song like
sold
that,
out, man,
yeah, sold out,
man,
not like they used to be. The problem with bands who are always like they used to be is that they always end up just fading. You know, they just fade out. You
That's
don't
right.
want to fade out
no.
in rock
you
and
do
roll.
You have to take risks.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just going to pick on Metallica right now. Like, I haven't listened to anything by Metallica in like a decade.
any new
thing. Yeah. Because it's the same. If I want to listen to that, I'll just go back and listen to Enter Sandman or Master of Puppets. Why listen to their new stuff when I could just hear the same exact song, but better from 30 years ago? Am I wrong in saying that?
I think it depends on the band.
It depends on the band.
Yeah, because there are some bands, they just release the same. They don't really change their tune or anything.
I don't know. For some reason, I feel that way about Metallica right now.
Okay.
I don't know why I feel like picking on that. They're in my crosshairs.
All right.
Just like Michael Jordan was earlier.
Damn, man. He's going after all the 90s heroes.
I just want to take on the 90s, man. I just want to fight them. I'm kidding. But I can't remember what my original train of thought is. But I sort of feel like this is the natural progression as the genre becomes more and more diversified. There's not going to be traditional rock anymore. I don't think there's been traditional rock for a long time. I think the bands that have been trying to hold on to traditional rock are probably bands from the 80s and 90s, right?
Yeah, but there are some traditional rock bands that are coming up. off the top of my head, an album that I just listened to was the Orwells, which they have a new album out. It was really good. It has they got A Body in the Bayou and a couple of other good songs on it that I would recommend. But it's just you don't hear like a traditional band, like, you know, just a lead guitarist, bass guitarist, drum, singer. Like, you don't like.
The one thing that's occurring to me, though, is what is traditional rock? We keep on throwing that around. But, like, was there ever a traditional rock?
I would say if there is, it would be what I just described, like a four-piece band. Or maybe five-piece, you add another
but that
guitar.
But, no band is just a four-piece band.
No, but some sort of variation of that.
Okay.
I would say that's a traditional band. Like, Linkin Park, now, what are they? A DJ?
I have no idea.
Two singers?
Why do you need two singers?
Yeah, because wait, you have Chester Bennington, and then
oh wait, that guy,
yeah, right, remember him?
Oh yeah. My gosh, he's back!
Right, it's him. And then you have the rapper guy. I forget his name. He's
I don't know.
He always comes in. Yo. Yeah, he always
is that what he does? Yo.
Well, yeah, he always comes in with the rap. The rap bar.
I'm looking at it, and they all just say backing vocals. So
yeah, what? Yeah.
Rap vocals on track 2.
Right, that's
Pusha T and Stormzy. What?
Oh, that's Good Goodbye. That's another song on the new album.
There's a person named Andrew Jackson? Now, you've lost me now. I'm just reading the credits.
How about I play another song?
Yeah.
Let me play that one that you just mentioned.
Yeah, I'll be interested to hear
Pusha
another sample.
Pusha T and Stormzy joining Linkin Park on Good Goodbye. Quick listen to this one.
So say goodbye and hit the road. Pack it up and disappear. You better have some place to go. Cause you can't come back around here. Good goodbye.
Life from the rhythm, it's something wild, venomous. Enemies trying to read me, you're all looking highly illiterate. Forgetting if I'm in the mix, you will find an equivalent. I've been here killing it longer than you've been alive, you idiot. And it makes you so mad, somebody else could be stepping in front of you. And it makes you so mad that you're not the only one, there's more than one of you. And you can't understand the fact that it's over and done. Hope you have fun, you got a lot to discuss on the bus headed back where you're from.
So say goodbye and hit the road. Pack it up.
Yeah, we can't play all of it. Copyright infringement.
Sorry,
Pusha T and Stormzy. We won't listen to your part.
I don't know what to make of this.
I'm going to go back to my original sentence. Is actually, as a pop song, it's actually pretty good. I would listen to
it. As a pop song, I guess.
It's catchy. It's got a good theme. You're saying goodbye to, you know, someone that did you wrong.
All right.
I get it. But as a Linkin Park piece of media... It's atrocious. This is not rock. This is not anything in their wheelhouse.
Yeah. If I didn't know it was Linkin Park, I would guess like some trendy pop artist.
Right.
Like some like club music pop person. You know? That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like something you hear at a club or something.
Yeah. I think that's probably the intention.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I don't want to throw out the term sold out because it's such a cliche term, but I think, yeah. I think their intention was to make the Billboard Top 40 to be played in clubs and to win an award by preying on a very thin genre at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too.
They want their cake and they want to eat it, too, is what it is.
Which is a little disappointing.
Yeah.
So I get where the hate's coming from.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because as I will say it again, as a pop album, it's actually pretty decent. But as a Linkin Park album, it's atrocious.
What if you just forget that it was Linkin Park?
Yeah, I would listen. What
if you just take the name off it and just listen to it?
No, I would still listen. I'll still listen to this in my Spotify. I'll still add it on my Spotify. But the fact that it's Linkin Park will irk me.
What if I just replace the name Linkin Park with like Bob Boberson? Would you listen to it?
Lord Chester Bennington.
How about that? Yeah, I know. With the guy Chester Bennington.
Just run with that. Lord Chester Bennington.
That's fine by me. I think that's a crazy awesome name. Chester Bennington.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so strange. it is so strange how the music industry works and mm-hmm. how bands have that struggle between wanting to evolve and wanting to change, wanting to experiment, and then getting backlash for being different. But in this case, I feel like some of the backlash is probably a little deserved.
Yeah.
Just because it is so not like them.
Yeah, it does seem like they left the sport and went and joined another sport. But there you go. That's what we have for you this week in the entertainment entree. Don't go anywhere, though, because we do have one segment left, and that is the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. I got a couple stories there. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
What do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A man in Missouri was banned from passing go or collecting $200 when he actually started a fight at a Monopoly tournament, and police sent him directly to jail. 69-year-old John Linton turned violent when he was asked to sit out from this year's tournament after he engaged in, quote, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Was he trying to steal money from the bank?
Probably, yeah.
There's always one person.
Yeah, always takes that extra $500 from the bank.
Yeah. You really want to drive people crazy? Have you ever played Cutthroat Monopoly?
What's the difference?
We would take all the property cards and deal them out at the start of the game so that everyone had at least one full set of colors so you could start building hotels on, like, your first or second turn. People were literally going bankrupt on, like, the fourth or fifth turn. It would just break hearts and destroy friendships. It was a horrible, horrible experience. I have serious PTSD from, like...
Yeah, you sound like those history documentaries,
yeah.
You know? I remember back in 1910, during the height of the Monopoly era...
We gathered around the Monopoly board. We didn't know what we were getting into.
We heard of this cutthroat Monopoly. We never heard of this before.
We decided it could be nothing but a little bit of fun.
I wrote a letter to my fair Virginia. Dear Virginia.
Dear Virginia.
I've gone penniless here on Park Place.
If you do not hear from me, it means I've ventured past Boardwalk. I shall not return. Please know, I will always remember our time at the Waterworks. Love, your one and only Mr. Moneybags. I mean, sometimes when you play Monopoly, you do feel like that. You feel like you've hit a point where you're like, I can never be sane again.
I can't manage my own finances in the real world or in the fake Monopoly world.
Yeah, really? It's just like rubbing salt in the wound. That's like, it should be in the rules at this point. It's like the first person to knock somebody out.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree and a side dish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of food for your mind here on this week's podcast, but I hope you save some room because coming up next, we've got your weekly dose of everything in the world of odd and strange news. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene, but maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. What does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for hell, right?
News.
All right, everybody. It's that time of the episode where we do a look at what's happening in the world of odd news. Why am I going off my normal spiel? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
you're,
for those
you're
of
trying
you
trying to mess everything up,
I
me,
know
yourself.
Well, you know, earlier I got you so mad about Michael Jordan and LeBron James, and I'm surprised you didn't get mad about Linkin Park. Calmer heads will prevail,
yes,
for the odd news.
There you go.
For those of you that might not know, here in the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He keeps the stories hidden from me, so I've never seen them before. This is my first time hearing them, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing them for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to dive in and get the latest happening in odd news.
All right. Let me save you there, and let's just dive in.
it wasn't that bad.
No, actually, you're doing pretty good there.
It was terrible, but it wasn't that bad.
It's all right. Let me try and take some of the pressure off of you with our first story here. Going to go to Minnesota in this one. And
it's cold like Minnesota.
Yeah,
cold like Minnesota.
Right, Lil Yachty. Yeah, man, he's my boy.
I hate him so much. The name is stupid. The song is stupid. It's
stay off them streets if you can't take the heat.
Why do you know this stuff?
I kind of like it.
You kind of like it?
Yeah, I kind of like the song. It got so ingrained in my head. I actually like it now.
I only know the part. Cold like Minnesota.
Yeah. Stay off the streets if you can't
because
take the heat.
Because it plays during a commercial with LeBron James and Sprite.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It always makes me want to drink a Sprite.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'll go Sierra Mist. all right. Let's do this Minnesota story here.
All right.
And this person has a good name here. we're going to follow the case of Aram Chanel Amir Dixon. You think she could have another name?
All those names except for the last, like, it's like all the names are weird, and then just Dixon.
Yeah.
What was that again? Amir?
When Aram Chanel Amir Dixon pulled her vehicle up to the drive-thru window at a Wendy's near her home on Thursday afternoon, she had one specific demand. 25-year-old Dixon repeatedly announced that, quote, the French fries must be fresh.
Okay, that's a valid request.
Yes, must be fresh.
Okay.
Somehow, though, this demand prompted an argument between Dixon and Wendy's employees.
Okay.
During the argument with the Wendy's workers, Dixon allegedly started to punch through the drive-thru window.
Oh, my God.
And in retaliation, employees threw sodas at her.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up. Now you fucked up.
At that point,
that's what the employees were saying, is they were just dumping soda on her.
At that point, Dixon grabbed her mace from her pocketbook and started spraying it through the drive-thru window.
Oh my gosh!
Hitting a Wendy's manager. He got hit directly in the face, causing burning in his eyes and difficult breathing.
Oh, man.
So,
mace is nasty.
Yeah. Dixon was then confronted by police officers who charged her with a felony for illegal use of tear gas.
What?
I didn't know that was a thing.
Really?
Apparently it is.
But mace, I mean, can't people buy mace?
Yeah, but I guess if you're not using it in defense.
Well, they were denying her fresh French fries. Isn't that in self-defense?
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah, but it's a full felony here she's going to get charged with. She faces a maximum of 5 years in prison. So
wow. Just all, for French fries.
All for the freshness of French fries.
You got to admit, though, fresh French fries are pretty tasty.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's worth 5 years
What's
in prison.
What's the maximum amount of jail time you would risk for, like, your most favorite type of fry? First off, what's your favorite type of fry? Me? Waffle fries from Chick-fil-A.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the best. You cannot give me a better type of french fry.
You are right. Yeah, the waffle fries are pretty good at Chick-fil-A.
If you don't like waffle fries, get out of the podcast.
Leave right now.
Leave right now. There's the door.
You may leave.
No, but what's your favorite type of french fry first? And yeah, what is the most amount of jail time you'd be willing to do to get?
We're assuming fast food. Then I guess.
I guess
you're right. The Chick-fil-A waffle fries, I could eat a whole bag of them just sitting.
What would you do for a lifetime supply of them?
How
much jail time?
I don't know, though. Fries to me aren't the best part of the meal, though.
What's the best part of the meal?
If it's Chick-fil-A, the chicken tenders.
Okay.
Oh, I love those. And then the dipping sauces.
Okay, so chicken tenders with barbecue sauce, because I know that's where you were going anyway.
Yep. That is one of my favorites.
And waffle fries.
This
is the dumbest question ever. I know, I'm just thinking to myself, like, I wouldn't be willing to do any jail for that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's other places you can get food from.
Yeah, yeah.
That would meet your high standards.
My high standards of fast food French fries.
Freshness.
Yes. Because that's what fast food is known for.
Yeah.
Freshness.
Those French fries must be fresh.
And how would she even know? The employees just should have said, yeah, sure. And just given her the regular French fries. She wouldn't have known.
Well, apparently she knew. I don't know. Something started the argument.
Just make them hot again. Dip them back in the fryer for a few seconds.
Aram Chanel Amir Dixon. She knows.
What a name.
She knows. She's very fancy. Oh,
very fancy.
I am Aram Chanel Amir Dixon. And I will judge the freshness of these French fries.
Why is she speaking like a proper British lord?
I don't know.
Yes.
Yes.
I am a female from America, but apparently I'm a British lord. Now serve me your fries that have been Frenched.
Yes. I have the appropriate palate to determine whether or not they are fresh.
You have a fresh detecting palate?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Okay. In Minnesota.
So she's going to go to jail for 5 years.
Possibly. Yep.
In Minnesota.
Yep.
That's pretty... Do you have to go to jail in Minnesota? That sucks. Yep. Like, Minnesota itself. I mean, Little Yachty has taught us that it is cold there.
Right.
It's cold like Minnesota.
But if you, you know...
I assume jail is even colder.
If you got to stay off the streets if you can't take the heat.
Yeah. Can't take the heat of those fresh French fries.
Yeah. Let's go to our next story here. This one's an interesting one. I know you love weird court proceedings. So,
I do.
So this one is up your alley. Every clown has a down day occasionally. And this clown, Orlando...
Just the start of that story. Every clown has a down day. You just know it's going to be good.
Yeah. And clown Orlando Melendez had one this week in Springfield District Court. The defendant had to write a motion... because he is claiming that he should not be charged, he should not be charged with armed robbery because, quote, he was joking. Yeah.
Okay.
Yo, man, just kidding. I'm just kidding. JK, man.
No.
What's the big deal?
You can't just say that you were joking about everything and get away with it.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
So I
was just joking.
According to his defense, the keystone is that I'm literally a clown.
He does have a rock solid alibi.
20-year-old Melendez is charged with using a toy gun during an attempted robbery of a Forest Park convenience store. He pleaded not guilty to two counts of attempting to commit a crime. Melendez then fired his court appointed lawyer. And since represented himself. So, yeah, that's where you know. That tells you where he's at.
I assume the court appointed lawyer did not want to get up and say that my client was just joking.
Yeah. During Thursday's hearing, he outlined his own defense strategy in which he said that, quote, I was just clowning around.
Oh, no. He didn't say clowning around, did he?
Yep. When I walked into the Cumberland's farm store at 3 a.m. Now, here's where things get even weirder.
Okay.
According to the actual motion that he wrote, he wants to perform a clown act to prove that he's a clown.
Oh, come on. This is... He's just looking for attention at this point.
Are you ready to hear what he wrote to the judge?
Yeah, sure.
You know what? I think it could warrant a dramatic reading because he wrote it.
Okay,
so why
sure.
not? Let's load up dramatic reading here. Let's get this going here. Your Honor, Judge Robert Murphy, I believe having the defendant juggle 3 wads of paper for no more than 20 seconds would appropriately show jurors that Mr. Melendez is a serious clown.
Okay.
Therefore, this would prove the attempted robbery was just a huge misunderstanding. I believe that this proposed juggling act would be not only the simplest way, but would also be the only possible proof that the defendant is indeed a professional jester. To deny this simple request would be to deny the defendant's 5th and 14th Amendment right to a fair and just trial, Your Honor.
Wow. He's calling amendments into play here.
Yes.
This is pretty official. I love the fact that it's juggling 3 pieces of paper.
He's very specific.
For no more than 20 seconds.
No more than 20 seconds.
And that will settle once and for all whether or not he's a professional. What do you say? A professional.
A serious clown.
A serious clown.
Yes.
This dude thinks this whole thing is just one giant joke.
I think so.
He used the phrase clowning around and then the phrase serious clown. Come on. This dude is just looking for a stage. He's an out-of-work clown, just looking for an audience.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because Judge Robert Murphy has promptly denied the request.
Oh, come on. Look, it's not going to prove anything, but why don't you just take a little bit of break from judging and just have a little show? I think everybody in court would appreciate that, don't you?
The trial is expected to continue next week.
What's wrong with a little bit of levity in the courtroom? I think a juggling act should be part of every court proceeding. In fact, if the defendant can't juggle, they go to jail.
That's it. You That's go it. Straight to jail.
Straight to jail.
You bastard.
This is just the dumbest story, though. You can't say that stumbling into what was it, a convenience store, a food store? Where was he?
It was a convenience store.
A convenience store at 3 a.m.? That you were just joking around. Who's joking around about robbing a place at 3 a.m.?
I'm gonna rob you.
Oh, got you.
Give me the freaking money.
Just messing around, but seriously, give me the money.
Wouldn't it be funny if I robbed you right now, Mike?
That would be so funny.
Give me the goddamn money.
Okay, don't hurt me. I was just joking.
I'm your best friend.
Yeah, I would never rob you.
Yeah. Now give me the money, you bastard.
It doesn't work that way. Oh, man. Because otherwise people would use that for everything.
Right.
Oh, I didn't mean to stab him. We were just play fighting. people play fighting. Sometimes accidents happen. Everything now is a joke and an accident.
Yeah.
So you can get off for basically any crime you commit. Oh, I ran the red light as a joke. I was just trying to scare everybody in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't that funny?
I was trying to scare everybody else on the road.
Yeah. Well, it worked.
All right. How about we go... let's go to Florida. It's time for Florida stories.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And I got 3 Florida stories.
Wow.
Yeah, man, Florida.
They just dominate the odd news anymore.
They're cranking them out, man.
3 stories, 4 stories.
Yeah. Let's do this one. We had our schools out.
Yes.
Odd news a couple weeks ago.
We did.
This one might be another entry into the system. Because a University of Central Florida student is now facing a felony charge after he hacked into the school system to change his F grade to a B. This is literally like War Games.
Yeah, it really is.
He literally hacked into the system to change his grade.
Oh my gosh.
University police said that an engineering professor became suspicious when he received an email from the school's electronic grade book thanking him for approving his grade roster several hours after he already approved the roster and received a confirmation email.
That's why they have those confirmation emails.
Yeah. The professor then reviewed the grade sent and noticed that 22-year-old Sammy Adele Amar was listed as having a B in the class, whereas the grade had been an F earlier in the day.
Yeah, that's a pretty big jump.
Police said that the professor tried to correct the grade but received an error message. The professor said that Amar's name stood out because he had only turned in a single assignment all semester.
Yeah.
I think you've had those kids when you taught college, right?
Yeah, so behind the scenes, we definitely know. you're not pulling one, like, it's very clearly laid out for us, all the zeros in a nice, neat row. You can't escape it. Believe me. It always amazes me what students think. That they're just, oh, they won't know. No, we definitely know. But that being said, yeah. I always rewarded initiative.
So would you give them
I
some
would
bonus
give that
points?
Student a D.
Okay.
No reason to tank the GPA. Just make it really difficult for them. No, I mean, one assignment. Come on. You're paying for... Look... This, I don't know, I'm not going to talk about it because it's going to get me mad, but you're paying for it at that point. 22 years old? What are you doing? You're getting an F at 22. Come on now.
Police said that they were able to track Amar's grade change when they found his IP address. He didn't even bother to hide his IP address? Come on, man.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
I mean, I'm not exactly a hacker or anything, but I know that would be the first step.
I would know how to disguise my IP address, so I would get caught instantly, too.
That's kind of a basic move, especially for an engineering class.
If you can hack into the school's grading system as an engineering student, you should know to cover your tracks.
Yeah.
Like, if I somehow was able to do that back in school, I would have messed up because I'm not a computer science person. But this person should have... You know what? I changed my mind. He definitely gets an F.
Yep.
He didn't cover his tracks.
Right. You're actually going to grade him based on how he hacks into the system.
Yeah, exactly. You're actually losing points. F minus.
Would that be a really messed up like thing for like a computer science class? Like, I'm going to give you all Fs, but I want to see how you guys hack into the school mainframe.
That would be such a good
class. To change your grade.
Also probably illegal, but yes. Such a good class.
Also the easiest grading thing I'm ever going to have to do because I'm not going to have to worry about it. Yeah. All F.
The professor just sits back and is like, go, that's your final.
That's your final. You have to hack into the school system and change your grade.
Oh, that would be so much fun. I mean, I would fail, but then again, I wouldn't be taking that class because it wouldn't be my major. That's awesome. But this student is stupid.
Yeah. Amar, who police said was uncooperative during questioning, later turned himself in after a warrant was issued for his arrest.
Oh, wow.
Wow, this is serious.
Can you arrest somebody for that?
Well, I mean, it's a felony charge of accessing a computer without proper authority.
Oh.
I mean, logic, you could access health records, you could financial records.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't a simple...
Yeah, that's a very good point. Man. Why? Oh, it's so frustrating. Why don't you put that much effort into doing the schoolwork?
Yeah.
Instead of hacking into the system to change your grade.
Stop watching War Games.
Yeah, where he clearly ripped off the idea from.
Yeah, all right. Jeez.
That or Ferris Bueller's Day Off, because he does that too, doesn't he?
What, in Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, he changes the absences, remember?
Oh, he changes the absences.
Yeah,
beginning. I didn't realize that. Yeah, Matthew Broderick pulls the same trick twice.
Yeah, I forgot he was in War Games.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick's a hacker.
Yeah, a fake hacker.
No, a real hacker.
Or maybe, I don't know. That's why we haven't heard from him.
What?
That's why you haven't heard from him.
That's right. Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah,
him and Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yep, we haven't heard anything from them.
Because they're hackers.
Yep, I don't trust them anymore. They're hacking something.
They're hacking. Oh, man. But, yeah. This guy needs to stop watching 80s movies starring Matthew Broderick and start focusing on his schoolwork.
Well, I don't know if he's going to have that luxury. He's going to be charged with a felony now.
Yeah. He hacks into the jail system. Oh, looks like he's up for parole today.
Oh, I thought we just arrested him. All right. I have another Florida story here for you.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Authorities in Florida are asking for the public's help in finding a large $25,000 swan sculpture that was stolen by a naked man.
Stop looking at me, swan.
What was that? And why do you have that?
Billy Madison.
Stop looking at me, swan.
Okay.
Stop looking at me, swan.
So, a naked guy stole a swan, but a really expensive swan.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Polk County Sheriff's Office said that surveillance cameras at Lakeland Cold Storage were recording around 5 in the morning when a naked man, who was also carrying a 5-gallon bucket, just on his own.
Just him and his bucket.
Yep.
Strolling the streets.
Yep, it's 5 in the morning. I guess I gotta bring my 5-gallon bucket.
It's probably his piss bucket.
He squeezed through a gap that was in the fence. He drove his 2015 Ford F-150 pickup truck and took the giant black and white swan sculpture in the back of the pickup truck and drove away.
Okay.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Good going, naked man.
Naked man.
With 5-gallon bucket. I don't know what you're using it for.
Stop looking at me, swan.
Why is he just driving around naked with a bucket?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, where are you coming from at 5 a.m.? And where are you going to that you don't have clothes on?
There's an update to this.
Okay.
Yeah, see, aren't you glad I do my research here?
Yeah.
This update was actually posted a couple hours ago.
Okay.
So,
late-breaking news.
Right, yeah, a little bit of breaking news here. The update is that a large black and white checkered statue of a swan that was stolen by a Florida naked man was found.
Wow. That was quick.
It was found by a random 32-year-old man who was fishing on a pond in Lakeland. The man returned home from fishing and told his family that he saw a big statue.
Okay.
When he was home, that's when he saw the news where they reported that there was a stolen swan statue.
Stop looking at me, swan.
Luckily, officials say the swan doesn't appear to be damaged and it will be returned to its rightful owner. However, no leads on the naked man, so props to you, naked man, with the 5-gallon bucket. You fooled Florida authorities.
Just another naked Floridian.
Yeah.
There's so many of them.
There's so many of them. This isn't
unique. They start to run together.
Yeah, they can't find him.
Why would you steal a swan just to move it somewhere else?
Yeah.
He was obviously on something if he's roaming around naked at 5 a.m.
with his Ford 150 pickup truck.
And his trusty bucket.
And his bucket, yeah.
That's the best part. Honestly, that's the best part of the story. It's just that he has this bucket with him.
Just in case. Don't know what's going
to
happen.
You know, a bucket is very useful. You can use it to hold stuff. You can use it to scoop stuff.
You can sit on it.
You can sit on it. You can use it as a helmet. You can hit people with
it.
You
could bang on it like a drum.
Bang on it like a drum. You can pee into it or poop into it. You can, before you pee or poop into it, you can use it to drink water out of. I think a bucket is a very versatile tool.
Well, it helped this guy get away, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. That's his trusty, that's like Florida's version of Batman. That's like his gadget, is a bucket.
Bucket man.
Bucket man. I feel like that's probably a thing. Bucket man.
Well, there was a guitarist.
Buckethead.
Buckethead, yeah. Yep.
He has, I think it's a KFC bucket on his head.
Maybe this is his Florida alter ego.
Maybe. Although KFC on your head is pretty Florida already, don't you think?
No, he's not naked. It's not Kentucky. Naked enough.
Not naked enough.
Yeah, you gotta be naked in Florida.
Okay.
And you know what? This is a good tie-in too. Why not? This is our last story here. Another Florida one.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
The woman that was from Louisiana, but it happens in Florida. Authorities say that a Louisiana woman who was living illegally in a vacant home in Florida proudly answered the door naked when a sheriff's deputy stopped by to investigate.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Monroe County Sheriff's spokeswoman Becky Heron says that a real estate agent called the cops to report that somebody was staying at the home without the owner's permission. The deputy that was called, Deputy Dick Wang.
Oh, come on. This has got to be fake.
No.
Dick Wang?
Yes.
Can we say that?
Yes, we can. It's his name.
Okay.
I said that really creepily.
Yeah, you said that very creepily.
Okay.
Well, because I'm never allowed to say anything. And now I can say Dick Wang.
Yes, you can. Deputy Dick Wang looked in the window and saw 36-year-old Felisa May Farrington naked. He knocked on the door, and she answered, still naked. She then asked, "Officer, would you like to join me?"
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Let's get to bashing butts, as well as D's nuts.
And wait, how old was she?
36.
That's not bad.
When Dick Wang announced that she was there illegally and was about to be arrested, Farrington continued to refuse to get dressed. That's when...
You have to make me get dressed.
That's when investigators say that she fought with Wang as he tried to take her into custody. Her struggle to avoid leaving the house continued until five more deputies arrived.
Wow.
Yeah, she put up a fight.
Jeez.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Farrington was from Harvey, Louisiana, originally. She's been charged with trespassing, battery on a law enforcement officer, and resisting arrest.
Wow.
So, yeah, she got a lot of charges.
Yep.
Just for slumming it in a Florida house.
And not wanting to put clothes on.
Yeah. Go back to Louisiana.
Go back to Louisiana.
Which is worse.
That's pretty bad if Florida's like, we don't want you here.
Which is worse, yeah, being banished back to Louisiana or going to jail.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like Louisiana is probably very hot with all its muggy swamps. I feel like that would be worse than going to jail. Is that bad that Louisiana is worse than jail?
I think it might be.
That's why she resisted. She didn't want to go back to Louisiana. What a shocker!
And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news. But before we officially close out the show, let's go over the lessons that we've learned. What have we learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned on this week's episode?
Well, first up, we learned that Louisiana is worse than jail.
Apparently, yeah.
And also apparently worse than Florida if they're trying to get rid of the criminals and send them back to Louisiana, right?
Go back where you came from.
That's right. We got enough crazy people here.
We got Dick Wang over here.
Dick Wang is crazy enough for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Dick Wang.
We got naked people carrying buckets.
Yeah. There's two naked people.
Yeah.
Inside news. Naked Floridians.
Yeah. You know, that's when you know you're in a weird state. Being naked isn't enough to identify you.
Yeah. It's like, well, there's lots of naked people. How do we know that's him?
Right.
They have a catalog of everybody's... No, I'm not going there.
Okay.
They have identifying snapshots. But anyway, we also learned that buckets are the most versatile tool ever. You can hold stuff in them. You can drink out of them. You can sit on them. You can hit people with them. Wear them as a hat.
Yeah.
I can't think of a more versatile tool. You can put other tools inside of a bucket. I feel like I want a bucket now.
Okay, well, go get you a bucket.
A 5-gallon bucket that I can walk around town with at 5 a.m.
Naked?
With my truck.
Around Ambler?
Around Ambler, yeah.
I don't think the Ambler players are going to like
that. Everybody's going to stay away from Ambler.
Yeah.
But no, I won't do that. But what I do want to try is I want to try hacking into stuff like Matthew Broderick did twice.
Yeah.
Apparently Matthew Broderick is a super hacker.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah, he did it twice.
Yeah. I mean...
Hack into school.
Yes.
Specifically hack into a school computer.
He hacked in... Yeah, because in War Games he hacked into a school first too, didn't he?
Right, to change his grade.
Right.
And then Ferris Bueller was to change his absences.
Are you sure they're not just floating this odd news story as a test to see if people will accept a sequel to War Games?
Oh, there you go.
They're like, this is like undercover, like market research.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, do they like the idea?
I don't know what you're talking about. Where's my check?
Yeah. Are you in talks with, I don't know, who made War Games? Whatever movie studio.
Orion, I think.
Are they even around anymore?
I don't think they're still around.
You might not be able to cash that check then, Rich.
Damn it!
Fooled again. Oh, you know what? Orion can just say that they were just joking around.
Yeah.
Apparently that's the catch-all for getting out of jail free. I was just joking around.
I think it's legal.
Yeah. What? I robbed the place? No, I didn't. I was joking around. I didn't stab the guy. We were just joking around. I didn't run that red light. I was just joking around. Just trying to scare the passengers a little bit.
Sure.
Insanity, I tell you. And finally, I learned that Chick-fil-A waffle fries are the best type of french fries. And
yeah,
if you disagree, then you can leave.
You can get out.
Get out of here.
Of the podcast. I don't know how you're going to do that, but yeah.
It doesn't have doors or windows. You're trapped here.
All right. Well, there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crisp Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't f***ing know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go, folks. Another episode in the books there. I think we went through a wide range of emotions. At least I did.
Yeah, yeah. From anger to laughing to everything in between.
Yeah. So this has been, the journey that is the Crisp Noodle Podcast. We go on these random emotional journeys based on our news stories.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
It is.
Highs and lows and loop-de-loops.
Yeah.
Rich having a heart attack one moment and then reading the odd news the next.
Yeah. We go through stories of great athletes and then toasters.
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Toasters are very important.
Yeah, that's something I've learned. Toasters are very,
very
important.
They are.
They go to Mars.
They're the MVP of sports teams.
And yeah, they could be the reason why the Warriors win the championship this year.
Go Toasters.
Yeah. Let us know how much you like toasters. Send us a message on Facebook. Search for the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at the Crispy Noodle. Send us a post. Hashtag MVP toaster.
There you go, MVP toaster.
Yeah.
Just gonna get a bunch of tweets. I love toasters.
Yeah.
Oh, but you can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube where you can find video noodles, best bits, interviews, and a whole lot more. Most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. You can listen to us at work, at home, on the go, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show condensed into a quick promo clip that you can listen to on the go and share with friends and family, the people that share with anybody, share with the naked people in Florida.
Specifically the naked people.
Share with anybody. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's going on.
Hashtag MVP Toaster.
Yes. Let us know your feelings on that. But for now, that will do it. We will see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.